Wallace has joined.
All right, are we ready to get started?
Yes, Dr. Mittman, let's go ahead and get started.
Okay, this special board meeting of the Arizona State Board for Private Postsecondary Education is hereby called to order at 12:01 p.m. on February 7th, 2023. Persons with a disability may request a reasonable accommodation such as sign language interpreter by contacting Kevin LaMountain at 602-542-5716 or through the Arizona Relay Service at 1711. Please make your request as early as possible to allow time to arrange the accommodation, hopefully prior to now. The board president, that's me, reserves the right to change the order of items listed on the agenda, except for the matter scheduled at a specific time. This agenda is subject to change up to 24 hours prior to the meeting. Board members may be present by telephone or Zoom. The board, upon a majority quorum of the members, may go into executive session for the purpose of obtaining legal advice pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A3 on any matter on the agenda. The board reserves the right to change the order of agenda items with the exception of hearings. The board, upon a majority vote of the quorum of the members, may also go into executive session to discuss or consider records exempt by law from public inspection, including the receipt and discussion of information or testimony that is specifically required to be maintained as confidential by state or federal law pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2. And on our agenda, the next item is the roll call.
Dr. Mittman?
Present.
Dr. Mittman is present. Dr. Leck?
Present.
Dr. Leck is present. Mr. Romano?
Present.
Mr. Romano is present. Mr. Ball?
Present.
Mr. Ball is present. Mr. Wallace?
Present.
Mr. Wallace is present. Ms. Cardullo?
Present.
Ms. Cardullo is present. Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan? Seamus, I see Seamus. Thank you, sir. Staff, Jacqueline Rome?
Present.
Staff, Keith Blanchard?
Present.
And I'm Kevin LaMountain. All present and accounted for.
Thank you. Are there, among any of the board members, are there any conflicts of interest? And hearing none, we'll move on to the agenda item for today's special meeting. The review, discussion, and possible action regarding a distance education accrediting commission show cause notice for Aspen University issued on February 2nd, 2023. The decision to include but not limited to show cause notice and supporting documentation. The board, upon a majority vote of a quorum, may go into executive session. I already said that. Okay, so who here is representing the, oh, I see you right there, Dr. St. Arnold.
Right.
Would you like to make an opening statement?
I would. Thank you so much. Aspen University, you know, we received a letter in the afternoon of February 1st from our institutional accreditor, the Distance Education Accrediting Commission, or DEAC. As the letter states, the commission met on January 20th to review and evaluate the status of Aspen's teach-out of the pre-licensure BSN program, the institution's position with respect to the Arizona Board of Nursing and the Arizona Private Postsecondary Education, as well as the institution's ongoing compliance with DEAC accreditation standards. The letter concludes with a show cause directive, which includes Aspen to provide DEAC with a written narrative addressing certain specific issues 30 days before a to-be scheduled site visit, and to provide other information by February 16, 2023. Following receipt of the DEAC letter, Aspen formally notified board staff and provided a copy of the letter. We're cooperating fully with DEAC, and we're closely reviewing the issues that DEAC has asked Aspen to address. We look forward to an opportunity to address those issues with DEAC. Aspen will share its response to the show cause directive with Arizona Private Postsecondary Education and keep the board apprised of its communications with DEAC. As part of Aspen's efforts to ensure that it has met its obligations under the September 2022 consent agreement with the Arizona Board of Nursing and to meet minimum educational standards during its teach-out, Aspen has separately retained an independent consultant, Dr. Patricia C. McMullen, who's prepared an initial report which we provided to the board. Dr. McMullen's evaluation is continuing, however, including interviews of our students and faculty. She will soon be submitting a supplemental report, a copy of which Aspen will provide to the board. Because Aspen has not yet responded to the show cause directive, and because Aspen is in the process of submitting information to the Arizona Board of Nursing in advance of its scheduled February 23rd meeting, we respectfully submit that the board should not take any action at this time affecting Aspen's accreditation. Likewise, because the DEAC matter remains open and the associated review process is ongoing, we're precluded from discussing the substance of these matters in a public setting at this time. However, Aspen anticipates providing a thoughtful and thorough response at an appropriate time consistent with the process laid out in the DEAC letter. That concludes my opening remarks.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And I see that Mr. Garner is here also representing the university. And is there anything that you want to add, Mr. Garner?
No, not at this time. Thank you.
Okay. So I'd like to frame the conversation for our board. We received an extensive board packet from Mr. LaMountain and staff that shared the show cause letter, the university's response to DEAC. We also had a copy of your consultant's report on the nursing program, as well as communication that we've had back and forth with the Board of Nursing. I think for the purposes of our meeting, you know, the key for this board is to protect the students of all post-secondary institutions, but in this case, the students at Aspen University, and primarily the students who reside here in Arizona. In addition to that, the board needs to be cognizant of any impact that the accreditation requirement and the potential fallout from that could have on the workload of our board, given the, I don't know how many hours, probably the hundreds of hours that our board's already, our board staff has put into this. I will say that, you know, having read, is it Dr., I forgot her last name, Dr. Arnold.
Are you talking about the consultant?
Yeah.
Dr. McMullen?
Yeah, Dr. McMullen. In reading Dr. McMullen's report, you know, I think that there, it distinguishes two issues. You know, one is the issue specific to the nursing program, and the steps taken by the university. Separate from that, which I think was called out very specifically by DEAC, is the either lack of responsiveness or tardy responsiveness of the university in communicating with the accrediting body repeatedly, which I would also say has been this board's experience over the last year plus now. Having said that, you know, that'll be like the extent of my, I guess, editorializing on the nature of the challenges. But I would say that it is a concern for this board, and I think it was either spelled out explicitly or implicitly by DEAC that lack of transparency and prompt communication does call into question, I would say at least on our part, the administrative capabilities of the university. And with that, I think I would like to, you know, for our board to open it up for questions with the focus on what do we need to do under the sort of evolving state of the relationship between the university, its accrediting body, the Board of Nursing, and us to protect the students, students in Arizona, the Strife Fund, and also the capacity of our own staff. And so with that, I'll open it up to questions from other board members. Mr. Romano?
Yeah, if I could, and again, I apologize that I'm not on video. I'm having some bandwidth issues, so hopefully you can hear me. I'd like to hear from the school maybe a little better understanding of what has created some of these delays in responsiveness in maybe getting back to DEAC and then also, you know, what you're just experiencing or what you foresee from any potential further delays in response.
So I think that I'm going to defer to any responses around our lack of responsiveness to DEAC as I respond to their show cause. I am unable to really answer that here. But I will talk about our responsiveness to the Arizona Board of Private Postsecondary Education. We submit everything every month that is required of us. We have submitted all of our communication with DEAC in a timely manner. What has transpired? I would say, if anything, it's all of the requirements coming at one time and making sure that everybody is noticed about everything at the same time. The impact to the students, I will say, though, you know, we are meeting our mission. We have excellent student outcomes outside of the pre-licensure program. Let's set that aside. We have excellent student outcomes. We have excellent faculty. We have excellent curriculum. And I'm really looking forward to showing that to board staff when they come next week to visit Aspen.
I understand there are some limitations in regards to what you feel comfortable sharing at this point in time. I know DEAC has put time frame on being able to provide that response. Is there anything at this point you feel would prevent you from meeting their expectations and providing that response within that time period?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions from board members? I'll just say, as a follow-up to Mr. Romano's, I think the gist of his question included some of the issues raised by this board and also by DEAC around the timeliness of communication to students last August and delays in alerting this board to the original investigations by the Board of Nursing. And I think DEAC pointed that out as well. And I think those are the, you know, in addition to the challenges, which the challenges with the nursing program, which you've provided, ample responses to how to address those, how the university is addressing those. I think it's these other issues that you know, that have really complicated the picture, both for the accrediting body, for this board, for the Board of Nursing, and probably resulted in, you know, contributed to the show cause letter and the hearing as well. Are there other questions? And I don't mean to belabor this because, but I do want to give people an opportunity on the board to ask questions of Dr. St. Arnold.
And I will say, Dr. Mittman, I believe, and Mr. LaMountain, you can correct me if I'm mistaken. I realize this has persisted over a period of time, but I believe there were also inaccuracies at various times with some of the information that was provided. But I don't want to misstate that. So, Mr. LaMountain, if you could validate, I believe there was some, if I seem to recall, just some elements of where the information that we received was not as accurate as what it could have otherwise been. If I am mistaken, though, please do clarify. I would hate to misrepresent that.
Dr. Mittman, Mr. Romano, that would be an accurate statement. Over the ongoing year that we've been working with the institution, there's been some challenges that has been brought to the university's attention and to this board's attention. So that would be an accurate statement. I think an important thing to note too is that I primarily work with outside counsel, with Aspen's outside counsel, as opposed to internal compliance, which is not typical of other institutions that that this board works with.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I think that's sometimes what makes it even that much more complex is, in some cases, delayed information and then the accuracy and our ability to authenticate that information adds to that additional stress and strain to what's going on here.
Mr. Romano, if I may, I just want to kind of, in terms of framing the issue, in terms of the communications and some of the things that you've raised and Dr. Mittman, you raised about maybe some delays or some inaccuracies, I think those are the types of things that we addressed when we revisited the stipulated agreement. And obviously those are issues that the university has taken into account. And I believe on a going forward basis, at least as it relates to this board, since that amended stipulated agreement was put in place, I think on a going forward basis, the communication has improved. And I believe the information has been provided timely and I believe accurately. Just in terms of kind of forward looking, to take that into account. And I get it, Mr. LaMountain, if you have a different view on that, by all means, indicate, but it's a matter of, from our perspective, you know, distinguishing, you know, recognizing past issues. We believe those have been resolved, at least in terms of communication with this board, and hopefully on a going forward basis, we're in a little better position on that front.
Dr. Mittman, to Mr. Garner's point, Mr. Garner is the individual that I work primarily with, again, as outside counsel. So the communication has been improved since since I'm working directly with Mr. Garner, and not through, you know, again, to make the point clear, not working through internal compliance people, but working with external counsel. The communication has been better.
Okay, thank you. You mentioned going forward. So looking ahead, I know that you have an upcoming visit by staff of this board. The show cause hearing has a site visit as well. Given the likelihood, as I understand it from DEAC, the show cause would be in effect for the next period of time. I believe it's either 18 months or 2 years minimum, which at that point it could be you know, fully resolved or it could be extended. What are the university's plans and what are the you know, how will that affect university operations moving forward, and any potential either impact from either a financial standpoint or in terms of how you will fulfill your mission, either ways to improve how you'll fulfill your mission or challenges that you think this could bring?
Thank you for that question. We've only had the show cause notice for, I think, 5 business days. So I'm not sure what the impact will be. I do know that we continue to function. We had 400 students who joined our university last month. We do have a good reputation. We do serve our students very well. I know that the Board of Nursing and the pre-licensure program has had challenges, but I foresee serving our students first and foremost, you know, educating them on what's going on here and assuring them that we can, you know, still provide the education that they are used to receiving is first and foremost on my mind. And taking the stress off of them that they can continue the work that they do. And that's the most important thing for me. Internally, we have great staff. A lot of my staff have been with me for 10 years. And they work very well with our students and serve our students, you know, in an exceptional way that even through the challenges of Sarah last year, you know, they stayed with us, those that, you know, we're in states that could come back. We don't have Sarah's. It's been, you know, postponed again. So we'll just continue as we are, continue to work with the individual states. So I foresee us in terms of DEAC, this was an accreditation year. We already had the resources and staff assigned for putting together a self-study and preparing for a site visit. And that work is continuing. And I'm not sure how much of it will translate to what they want to see with the show cause, but we will be ready for their site visit. And we will be ready for support staff site visit when they come next week.
Okay. Thank you very much. Are there any other questions from board members? If not, I'll wait before I say if not. Okay. So our staff gave us a range of options for us to consider, you know, ranging from, you know, just holding off and monitoring the situation, all the way to, you know, some version of probation. I think given the requirements from DEAC, the Board of Nursing, and the current stipulated agreement, I think somewhere in the middle would be appropriate, which is to amend the stipulated agreement, which would require a teach-out plan, which is already, the university is already developing that per the requirement by DEAC. All student transcripts from the institution's inception to the present, which all documents must be in a digital format, and to add a statement of cash flows to the financial reporting, in addition to the, you know, we already get the balance sheet and the income statement. So I think that should be pretty straightforward for your staff. I think in doing that, we will position our staff in the best place to respond to any future changes, particularly with the transcripts. And also, it'll also give our finance committee that extra information about cash flow, burn rate, et cetera, so that we can monitor that aspect of the institution. So before making a formal motion, I want to get a sense from other board members. Do you have strong feelings about this one way or the other? And I see that Mr. Romano wishes to speak. Mr. Romano?
Yeah, no opposition to what you're recommending there. I thought it might be helpful, Mr. LaMountain. I believe you have that site visit next week. Do we anticipate for the staff that you would have the opportunity to conduct that visit and be able to establish some thought and feedback around that for our next board meeting where it can be considered?
Dr. Mittman, Mr. Romano, that is our goal. Is the institution has provided the material that we asked for in the letter that's in your board pack, and we've been reviewing that. We have a meeting tomorrow to go over the details, and then I will work through Mr. Garner and Dr. St. Arnold in terms of putting together faculty and student meetings, and then our intent would be by the time we get to the 23rd regular board meeting would be able to provide that information. That is the goal. So depending upon a number of things and what we learn and the amount of detail that we get into, that may be, it may be pushed to either another special meeting or our April board meeting. As a reminder, March is a finance meeting month. So the institution will come before the finance committee for sure in March.
Okay. I know, obviously, we have our next board meeting on February 23rd. So just a short period away here. I didn't know if it made sense if we're going to talk about, you know, an amended stipulated agreement. If we didn't want to pause until that time at the risk of potentially having to do it again, or if one would say, no, it makes sense, let's go ahead and make that suggestion to do the amendment here, and if we need to amend again at the 23rd, that's a viable option for us as well.
And board members, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. What may expedite this is to, you know, ask the university if they're willing to stipulate to those amendments.
Thank you. I'll leave that to the chair.
Dr. St. Arno and Mr. Garner, are you willing to stipulate to those agreements? So requiring a teach-out plan, which I think you're already doing, student transcripts from 1985 to the present in a digital format, and then the statement of cash flows.
And that would be the development of a teach-out plan, correct? Not the implementation. I just want to make sure.
Right.
I have the
risk. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
And Dr. Mittman and members of the board, so is on the teach out plan, are you anticipating that would just be a reflection of what the university is already doing with respect to the Board of Nursing?
Dr. Mittman and Mr. Garner, the focus of the teach out plan would be that to mirror with what you would be doing with DEAC. So it would not only be for the, it would be for all 49 programs that are currently licensed by our board, which I believe would mirror DEAC's requirement. And I know that you all have worked with DEAC on at least the teach out plan for the nursing, the pre-licensure nursing program. So this would be to including all of the 49 programs.
Yes. Yes, we will have that information for DEAC. So yes, we can share that with board.
Okay. And then the other two are the student transcripts and the statement of cash flows.
I'm going to say yes. I would like to confer with my staff. I'm not sure what the timing is for all transcripts because we have, you know, many different asks in our continued monthly reports, which many of them we've been giving to Arizona for a very, very long time. So a lot of that information you do have since 85, I do know that we have them digital. It's just a matter of, you know, being able to pull them, sort them, put them in a format. But would we, Could we get them to you? Absolutely.
Okay. And Mr. LaMountain, is there a time frame that makes the most sense? I know that there are two site visits coming up, and so you know, there is a little time interval here to work with.
Dr. Mittman, I will work with the institution. I will say that it won't be too far out. And the reason for that is obviously there's a site visit that we have coming up. Obviously, there will be a site visit by DEAC. There is also a meeting with the Board of Nursing on February 23rd, same day as our next board meeting, that may have an impact on the institution. So I would, you know, if we were going to put a time frame, not to exceed 60 days from today, which is the 7th of February, so not to exceed 60 days. And that would give us the opportunity to work with the institution. And Dr. St. Arnold, I will work with you. Yet the answer is yes, we do have some of the transcripts. We don't have them going back that far. And due to the show cause from DEAC being the institution, we need to make sure that we've protected the students and having all of those records from the beginning of Aspen University back in 85.
I fully understand.
Okay. So, Mr. going back to Assistant AG Mr. Monahan's question, is this in lieu of amending the stipulated agreement? So, in other words, we have on the record that the university will provide these, or are you saying asking if the university agrees to these amendments to the stipulated agreement, which would then be forthcoming?
Yes, it was specifically just to the amendments. As you know, it wouldn't be fruitful to amend if they weren't going to stipulate to it. So I just wanted to make sure that there was some concurrence here that was something that they would be willing to look at. And again, so we'll send that to them. And I'm sure the English teacher will clean up my language. Hopefully we'll get that signed.
Great.
And do you care to out whoever you're referring to as the English teacher here?
Hey, Mr. Garner.
All right. Duly noted for any future term papers that I might be writing. I will make a motion then to amend the stipulated agreement to include the teach out plan as required by DEAC, require all student transcripts from 1985 to the present in digital format, and to require the statement of cash flows statement of cash flows that are regularly provided to this board for the finance committee. Can I get a second?
It's Mike Romano, I'll second.
And just can I reach out to other members of the finance committee? Is there anything else that you feel would be either important to add, or does the statement of cash flows satisfy our needs?
This is Scott Wallace. I think the statement of cash flows would be very helpful. It's not a terribly time consuming project for staff, and so I think it would maybe help the institution, but it certainly would help us understand a lot more information than just the balance sheet and the statement.
Okay. Good. All right. So we have a motion, we have a second, and we already, Mr. Monahan already asked if you agreed to the stipulation. So Mr. LaMountain, can you call the vote?
Dr. Mittman?
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Ms. Cardullo?
Aye.
Ms. Cardullo votes aye. By your vote of 6 ayes, no nays, that motion passes.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And with that, having concluded our business for the day, I make a motion to adjourn, which means we are adjourned.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.